Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be activists. Commentary. I am writing this column in the hopes you will pass it around. To be honest, I write every column in the hopes it will be passed around, times being what they are. I'm arrogant enough to think what I have to say is at least somewhat needed. More humbly, GD gave me a modicum of writing skill I have concluded for a reason, and, more than ever in my life, I, at the age of 80, seem constrained to use it. I rarely stop, and when I do, all I seem to think about is what I'm going to write next, except when I'm playing tennis. And even then. Today's title is, of course, a knockoff of Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys, written by Ed and Patsy Bruce, but made famous, as these things go, by others the estimable Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson. If you've been living under the proverbial rock and haven't heard their fabulous recording, and even if you have, I listen to it all the time, it's right here. It begins, "Cowboys ain't easy to love / and they're harder to hold. If you replace cowboys with activists, it still makes sense, maybe more. Trust me, I've been there myself, years and years ago. We were wrong then. They're worse now. This is all a long way around to what my theme is, the cause of the civilization-threatening unholy mess we are in with so many of our supposedly premier institutions of higher learning, indeed the world's supposedly premier institutions of higher learning, Ivy League on down, turned into satanic campgrounds celebrating a group of bloodthirsty maniacs that make the Nazi Party seem like, well, let's just leave it there. Except that 1939 has come back. From Wikipedia. On February 20, 1939, a Nazi rally took place at Madison Square Garden, organized by the German-American Bund. More than 20,000 people attended, and Fritz Julius Kuhn was a featured speaker. The Bund billed the event, which took place 2 days before George Washington's birthday, as a pro-Americanism rally. The stage at the event featured a huge Washington portrait with swastikas on each side. Deja vu all over again. The proverbial canary in the coal mine come back for yet another bow. Yes, but now it's arguably worse. No more wrapping themselves in the flag. George Washington, no longer revered, is just another statue to be toppled. It's death to America all the way down at our leading universities, and it's spreading. It's Rashida Tlaib's world. We just live in it. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be activists, see what I mean? I'm not talking about the loyal readers of this site. I'd be astonished if they were the kind of parents or grandparents who would countenance that kind of thing. But I wouldn't be surprised if they know plenty who are. Also, I know many fine people who have done their bests with their progeny only to find that years of critical race theory and other assorted woke excrescences in the schools, not to mention the inability to concentrate brought on via the supposed gifts of Silicon Valley, have made it impossible anyway. When looking for blame for what happened to this generation of college students, half or near of whom seem to prefer Hamas to Israel, most point at the educational system itself. So neo-Marxist woke from kindergarten up, it's hard to imagine how they could be more so, and to the media who cheer it along, amplify it, and excuse its excesses. But it all starts in the home. In other words, someone was not home to give these young people guidance and rein in at least some of their excesses, the parents. It's not been just an abdication of responsibility. In more cases than we would like to know, the parents may also have cheered them on, seeing in their rebellious children the vindication of their own, much more tepid, rebellions years ago. In yet other cases it's more direct and worse. As illustration, recall how, back in 2020, former President Barack Obama proudly announced his daughter's participation in protests led by Black Lives Matter, an organization that proved to be a financial ripoff not just of other blacks, but of all who contributed to their racialist con game. Of the three causes mentioned, the parents may, in the end, be the most to blame, though needless to say a fourth element, our government, has its portion too, an amazingly large one, fomenting what Christopher Rufo sees as internal color revolutions via such amusements as drag queens for Palestine. It's impossible to know how many of these protesters come from single-parent homes, but it's almost certain to be a high percentage. This is a national disaster in itself. It's hard to know in general how many of them there are or even who they are because they wear masks or keffiyehs covering their faces. What we are seeing on our campuses is the product of a family environment imploding or, sadly, already imploded. Much of this is and has been intentional. I apologize to all of you for being so hobby-horsical, as Lawrence Stern termed it hundreds of years ago, on this topic, but the situation we are in is indeed civilizational. One can only praise the few governors Texas, Florida, who have stood up to the onslaught and properly used the National Guard to return their universities to what was supposedly their real purpose, something called education. So let's end with some good news. It was long overdue, but the Ivy League and similar institutions are finally losing their luster. It is being widely reported that many students and their families, not just Jewish ones, are deciding to go elsewhere, to the Midwest and South, for their studies that might be more even-handed. Others are deciding that college isn't such a great thing after all, and are going to trade schools. Good on them. Finally, a word about a word, activists. It is used as well to characterize adherents of what we often think of as good causes. I say bag it. Let's leave that term to the left. That way you don't have to let your babies grow up to be activists, because, chances are, they're not going to be the kind you want,